This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show number 108. Hi, you're listening to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. You can find us at pitchvision.com. You can email us on
mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com.
Phone us on
020-8867-691.
My name's David Hinchliffe.
And I'm Berners.
It's a glorious spring day here, Berners. I don't know what it's like where you are, but the sun is shining down. It really feels like the cricket season is upon us. Are you feeling the love for the start of the summer?
It is, Coach. Fresh grass being cut all around.
Yeah, the sun always shines on the righteous, as they say.
Can only hope so.
So your club's been busy in themselves with the pre-season games, is that right?
They have indeed. Straight in at the deep end, playing against the big boys Middlesex. Everyone likes to pit their wits against the best team in the region. They bowled us out for 100 and knocked it off to win by 10 wickets, but a thoroughly enjoyable day by all. And you had to be in it to win it, I guess.
Good, okay. So despite getting absolutely hammered, it was a good day out, and I'm sure there was a couple of beers drunk afterwards as well.
A couple of ciders, a couple of days, everyone's a winner.
And you're always happy just to get a game in. And as you said before, Berners, it's a good game is a short game.
Absolutely.
So what's been going on in the wider world in your view? You've got some things you've been keeping an eye on in the world of cricket this week.
Yeah, definitely watched the World Cup final last week. Thought that was really interesting. Still abide by my Munaf Patel. I thought he was absolutely inspirational. Allowed Zaheer Khan the freedom at the other end to kind of be a little bit more imaginable and create that mistake. He was certainly one of my star performers in that final. I thought he was magnificent. I've got a poster of him above my bed.
I mean, as always, it's the batsman who gets all the plaudits, isn't it? And I think Dhoni's innings was superb. But the guy who keeps things quiet is very much an unsung hero. And that is true at any level, from a World Cup final right down to the village game, I think. You know, there's always room for the guy who just keeps things tight at one end while the glory goes somewhere else.
He's actually remarkably like Glenn McGrath, the Indian version, just line and length, wicket to wicket. He was getting quite a bit of assistance off the pitch, just that kind of loopy bounce off of his deliveries, which was quite hard to get away. And I am now sourcing him a county contract as we speak. Me and MP, as I like to refer to him, as going to become close buddies moving forwards.
So line and length, especially in early season situations, is a good way to go, do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, getting the ball on the money, making the batsman play. We've got a case just today, I think, a guy over in New Zealand has just taken 5 wickets in an over. The first time that feat's been matched in over 70, 80 years. So and watching the highlights of that, every single ball was on the money. Stumps sprayed everywhere, and he was making the batsman play, which first up coming into the crease when you've just lost 3 blokes before you probably don't really want. So fair play to Neil Wagner over there for Otago. His tail will be wagging this evening, no doubt.
You can imagine being the guy who's coming in on the 5th ball of that over. What are you thinking to yourself there?
You're thinking, just get something in the way, get your bat on it, or leave it if it's wide of off stump.
Don't
unfortunately,
yeah.
He bowled him an 85 mile an hour Yorker, which pretty much planted the middle stump in the wicketkeeper's chest, impaling him, and consequently sending that batsman back to the pavilion as well. So all 5 of them were in the changing room, smashing the place up, no doubt.
And was that the last wicket of the innings? Was that at the end of the innings that he did, or did someone actually block the last ball of the over?
No, someone actually blocked the last ball of the over. He ended up with 6 for. It was in their county shield over there, their state shield competition. So, I mean, 5 wickets in an over, hell of a feat in terms of concentration and, you know, the ability to get the ball in the right place so consistently. So hats off to Waggers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And also hats on to those batsmen who just couldn't seem to stop him. You'd just do anything to get something in the way, wouldn't you, if you were that man facing that 6th ball of the over?
Yeah.
You do anything.
You do anything. You park the bus up, don't you? You park the bus up.
So, but that's enough natter from us, really. We've got a couple of interviews coming up, and we'll do those in a moment. We've got Harry Palmer on the show, and he's going to give us some more batting tips, which is always useful. Gary's full of great ideas. And we're also returning to Scotland for our Scottish National Premier League favourite team, Watsonian. And we're going to talk to Simon Council, who is in charge of youth development there. And, you know, when I was a young lad, it used to be called the cult section. But these days it's all about performance groups and progression planning and all kinds of exciting buzzwords. So we're going to talk about that kind of thing from the view of a coach and see what's happening to the young players who are going through the Watsonian system. And also we've got your questions. So stay tuned for that, because you do have a chance of winning a prize, which is a Pitch Vision Academy coaching course delivered online through pitchvision.com/academy. So if you've always wanted to get the advice of some of our top coaches like Gary Palmer or Ian Pont, Mike Brearley, Derek Randall, then you can get your question onto the show and we'll tell you how to do that a little bit later on. But for now, let's head to the first interview. In this next portion of the show, we're going to be talking to Gary Palmer. Gary's CCM Academy is world renowned for producing high quality cricketers with excellent techniques. And Gary is also the batting coach of Pitch Vision Academy, our online coaching academy. How do you know when a player is understanding that the message that you're trying to get across about their technique?
Well, we do a particular practice from time to time at the academy where, you know, for instance, if I'm working one-to-one with you, I will do what I mentioned earlier, the programming, give you a running commentary on any errors that you've made and any ways that you need to fix them, so you can learn how to correct your shots ongoing as we're practicing. And when I think you're to a particular point, then I'm now going to be asking you to give yourself a mark out of 5 for each shot for a little period of time. And if you're only going to give yourself a 4 out of 5, then I need you to give me one correctional piece of information. And if you're going to give yourself a 3 out of 5, you need to give me 2 correctional pieces of information. That way, the batter's really starting to think about it. And also, when they give themselves a mark, you can tell whether they're being too much of a perfectionist, they've been too hard on themselves, or unrealistic about how good or how bad a shot was. And sometimes I would ask the player to give me the mark, and then I'd follow that up with another batch of balls where maybe I'd say to the player, I'm going to give you a mark of what I think now. And so we can see how close our sort of expectations are and our standards are of how we're playing a particular shot. But it's a fun way to get that person to say, okay, I'm going to give myself 4 out of 5 for that. And I say, okay, well, you give me the one point that you need to got right to get 5. And then they come back and they give it to me. And they're, as they do it, they're starting to understand what they've done wrong, how they're going to put it right. And of course, as a coach, you're going to give them ideas on, okay, what's prioritised, what thing you need to work on in what order, because that's quite important as well. And if someone says, yeah, I've got 5 out of 5, if I, the coach, can find fault there, then obviously they'll get 4 out of 5. But it's a little game with numbers. It's competitive. Gets them thinking about technique.
And they can get pretty good at that, can they? They can usually get somewhere where you want them to be when it comes to analysing their own techniques.
Definitely, because if you've been given the running commentary for a couple of hours, they know now what you're going to say about their own technique before you say it. You can literally keep quiet, and they can tell you what they think they're doing wrong and what they need to do to put it right. And it's good to do that. And having a point system just makes it a little bit more fun.
Okay, it's time now on the show for the return of the ever popular questions section. It was missing last week, but don't worry, it's never far away. We know how popular from the number of questions we get that this section of the show is. So if you want to win a coaching course courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy, then send your questions in to us. Berners, you've got the details of how someone can send a question in there, have you?
Absolutely. They can drop us an email at mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com.
Okay, so we've got a couple of questions. You've picked a couple of questions that should be quite interesting out of this week's mailbag. So,
absolutely. We've got a really interesting question here from Rafi. Coincides with the launch of the IPL 4, which we all hope will have as many twists and turns as a Monaco Grand Prix, no doubt. Yeah. He's an 18-year-old. He's captain of Israel under-19s. And also a very keen batsman. He's batted in the middle order, generally 4-5-6. He wanted to bat higher, and he's recently been propositioned with the prospect of opening the batting in a 2020 match. So his question is, when batting in a 2020 game, what differs from that of a 50-over game, and what can he do to prepare for the match, and how should he approach it?
It's an interesting question, actually, because the mentality is the foundation of it all. You have to look to score off more balls than you would in any other format of the game. But I think I would, from a technical point of view, I would add to that. I would say, yes, you are looking to score off more balls, but you don't want to change the way that you play. So say, for example, that the style of player that you are is you're very strong driving straight down the ground. You know, that's kind of your strength. Maybe you're a front foot driver type of person, and you can play in that way very effectively. Maybe in a longer game, you might be leaving balls outside the off stump, and you get a good ball, you know, which is on off stump on a good length, you might block it. But in 2020, you have to find ways to score off of those balls. So maybe you're throwing the bat a little bit more at the wider balls and hitting a little bit squarer than you normally would. So maybe you're hitting through the covers or even square. And length balls, you've got to find a way to get your hands higher so you can drive on the up if it's the type of pitch that allows you to drive on the up, maybe even over the infielders. Because when we talk about hitting the gaps, one thing that players miss quite often is there's a gap behind every fielder. There's gaps between fielders, but there's a gap over their head. If you can get it over his head, there's a gap behind every fielder.
Yeah, I mean, I think a key thing as well is knowing your shots and knowing your zones, knowing where you can score. You watch players like Michael Hussey, Trott as well. The fielding team know where they're going to hit the ball, and they still effectively score runs there because they know that's their area, they know that's their zone, and they know that for particular power plays and areas of the game, they're still going to be able to score there. Michael Hussey typifies a traditional player who plays 2020 cricket exactly the same way as he plays test cricket. Mm-hmm. He plays the same shots. He just elevates his shots over cover. He still plays very straight, very technically correct, and he's successful.
Absolutely. And his way of doing it is an absolutely fantastic way of doing it. There again, if you're the type of guy who is quite wristy and you do play those kind of shots well, then go for it. I mean, the only thing I would say is, as you said, Berners, play to your strengths. Don't try to do anything that you haven't got the confidence to do. As soon as you start thinking, okay, I'm going to start clearing my front leg and hitting over deep mid wicket, and you're not that type of player, then you're going to get yourself in trouble unless you've practiced it really hard in the nets, which admittedly a lot of club players don't do. They don't have, you know, specific sessions for practicing shots. So don't try and add new shots to your repertoire if you're not going to practice them. Just work out ways to customize the ones that you've already got, because you've already got the confidence to play those shots. All right, if you get out playing a shot, well, it's 2020. You're meant to play shots, so don't worry too much about it. Back yourself from the shots that you do have and go out to find ways to score off more balls.
And what once met a very wise man and was quite good friends with him for a little while, called Michael Bevan. And he always preached to me that he built his career around practicing and executing six shots, three one side of the wicket and three the other side of the wicket. He said, that's the end of it. There was no other discussion. There were three shots on the on side, three shots on the leg side, and that's where he hit the ball.
And of course, Bevan's genius was that he could play any of those six shots to just about any ball.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's probably what us mere mortals couldn't do. But the message of saying just having six shots, I mean, you know, maybe as a club player, maybe you've only got three shots. That's fine. Play those three shots. Okay, what's the next question, Bernard?
The next question, another batting-related question, is coming from Raul Sharma, and he's wondering how he can hit a cricket ball up to and over 100 metres. Wow, that's quite a distance there, Raul, but I'm sure the coach has got some meaningful advice for you.
I mean, that's an interesting goal to have, but why would you have that goal in the first place? I mean, why would you want that? Because you could be the most powerful batsman in the world, but if you don't stay in for long enough, then it makes no difference how far you can hit the cricket ball. If you get out third ball every time trying to hoof it into the cow field.
Maybe he lost a bet. Yeah. Maybe he's involved in a bet that he has to hit a cricket ball over 100 metres, or else he's got some kind of forfeit.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, it could be this. Could be some kind of version of the mongoose challenge to Marcus Trescothick to get the ball over the Lord's Pavilion.
Yeah, if I give him any advice, I'd say go and buy one of those Skye things, stand there, and you'll hit it about 250 metres, mate, so you won't need to worry. But, yeah, get in the gym, build yourself up, get some strong wrists on you, and give it a bit of a heave-o, lad.
Well, yeah, absolutely. By the way, I think at least according to... you know, I can't remember who told me this, but according to somebody in the know, the object that allows you to hit it furthest of all is a baseball bat. So, okay, it's a little bit thinner than a cricket bat, but if you can get hold of it, then there's your answer. Use a baseball bat.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether that's within the laws or not. We might have to examine that. But, yeah, I mean, what it boils down to really is a combination of technique and power. You know, that's the key to it. As you said, Ben, it's good technique. It's no good being extremely strong and powerful if you haven't got a good technique. You have to be able to time the ball, and you can do that with a good technique. And there's plenty of that on Pitch Vision Academy, of course, pitchvision.com/academy. The second thing is you need to be strong. So, yeah, you need to hit the gym, and you need to hit the gym in a certain way. It's no good just hitting the gym and doing your three sets of 10 on all the machines and then going for a 20-minute jog. That's not going to do anything for you. You need to be strong. You need to be powerful. And to be strong and powerful, you need to lift up heavy things. And lifting up heavy things doesn't mean grabbing a couple of pink dumbbells and standing on a Bosu ball and doing a few bicep curls. That isn't going to cut it. What cut it is lifting up heavy things as much as you can. So if you're in your off season, you want to be working on your strength as much as you can, building your strength up as much as you can. In season, it's a little bit more difficult. You're going to be playing a lot more cricket. It's a lot harder to get stronger. It's a lot harder to get more powerful. But there's still things that you can do. And we do have a guide to off season and a guide to in-season training on Pitch Vision Academy, so you can have a proper look at that. But remember, the key, the absolute important thing, the basis of it all, is to be strong. So get strong. You'll be less injured. You'll be able to hit the ball further. Maybe not 100 metres. It depends. If you're 5'2" and built like a tiny, slim-hipped person, then you're probably never going to be able to hit it 100 yards. But if you're a big bloke and you put big muscles on a big bloke, then... or strong muscles, I should say, then you're going to do well. And the other thing is don't worry about it too much. You know, relax. If you think I'm going to hit this in the air, hit it in the air. If it goes 100 metres, great. If it goes 60 metres, well, on a lot of club grounds, that's still probably going to be six.
Squat it, whack it, boof it, bosh it.
Yeah, bosh it. But bosh it with good technique and good... strength, muscular strength and power behind it, and away to go. and yeah, stay calm and bat in a way that gives you the best results, and then the 100-meter hit will come without you knowing it. It's time now on the show for our regular feature where we go north of the border and get some details about a Scottish club who we've adopted for the 2011 British summer. That's Watsonian CC in Edinburgh. And I'm joined today on the line by Simon Council, who is the youth convener for the Watsonian youth section. So how's it going, Simon? All right?
Yeah, good. Thanks very much. Excellent. Just approaching the season, so winter nets are out the way, and looking forward to hopefully a summer of sunshine.
So you've got quite a big job there on your hands. You have to look after all the kids who come in to the club to get coaching, and you kind of hold the future of the club in your hands in many ways. So what kind of a setup have you got there?
We have, at the moment, sections under 8 through to under 15 sections for both, mainly boys. Girls are very welcome to join as well. And we have, for the first time this year, introduced an under 11 girls quick cricket section, which at the moment in its infancy, but we probably have between 10 to 15 girls in that section. So definitely an area where we're very keen to progress.
You've grown the section quite a lot since you took over about a year and a half ago. How did you do that?
Firstly, we assessed where we were at. So having been involved with the club and knowing it fairly well since, indeed, I left the school where we have a heavy affiliation, one of the things we didn't have was an under-8 and an under-9 section. So some of the children who are coming from cricketing backgrounds or not, we're finding other clubs to join in the local area, and we were indeed losing out on players that I felt ultimately should have been developed and trained and had a future with Watsonians. So first things first, really was trying to develop at the lower age end. I think the other key areas, and we've touched upon them already, is, you know, there wasn't a particularly a separate focus on girls cricket, and I think if you look around the country and indeed in the media, then it's a keenly backed and a big area for growth. So very keen to develop that area, and I have a daughter myself who is very keen on the sport. So I have a slightly biased interest in developing that section of the club as well. But fingers crossed, so far so good.
What is your overall philosophy when you're running the youth section?
As I look at it, the number one priority for me to ensure that there's a huge amount of enjoyment there, so that ultimately the children keep coming back. So far, so good. I think that's certainly in terms of the numbers that we've seen that we've retained from over the last kind of 3 years, going from a summer to winter season or winter to summer season has been good. So touch wood, that certainly seems to be working in terms of the overall approach. And obviously, in this day and age, there is access to a huge amount of coaching tools. You know, so the likes of yourself and or books, but in terms of games and drills that are available and to the children, I think we've obviously moved on dramatically since I was learning the game when I was small. So that for me is the number one. If you can build, you know, that sustained group of children, then I think they'll keep coming back. Then you can develop them at the right speed and hopefully to the right level. But that's a slightly different question, and one of the problems I think we would probably face is how you develop the children to their full potential with, you know, a group of ultimately amateur coaches, which is from a club perspective and from my perspective is one of the, you know, key developments or development goals over the next 2 to 3 years.
Do you have a plan in place that kind of joins up the development from someone coming into club at 8 or 9 or 10 years old and then reaching the end of the youth system and going into adult cricket?
To be frank, no. I mean, what we do have is an overall development program, but I would say it's still at a pretty high level. So indeed, one of the things that we've been talking about in the winter with one of our new coaches that's come on board, a chap called Tony McKenna, we may well look to someone like him to start saying, you know, this is the sort of 10-week winter program we would put in place for a, you know, a seven-year-old starting with the game, and then start building out that 10-week program, you know, with some form of database of drills or coaching games. That's the vision. I appreciate that. That's, you know, to do that across, you know, all the levels, you know, from 7-year-olds up to 15-year-olds is not a small task, but certainly something I think in terms of building a sustainable platform for youth cricket for however many years to come, I think that's something I would very much like to do in the near term. And I think what that needs to address is effectively, I think probably you could look at a one-stream program for 7-year-olds and 8-year-olds, for example, but then, you know, as you start to move up, whether you start to then have different programs effectively which are targeted at different skill levels.
And that is a problem a lot of coaches face who are organising cult sections and youth sections, is that they don't have an overall plan. They, you know, maybe they're thinking what to do, you know, on the way to the ground almost, and they're not quite, you know, there's no kind of joined up thinking. So it's because it takes a lot of work to put that kind of thing into place and get it out across the coaches. So it's good to see that you're doing that.
I think the other thing, I mean, I absolutely agree, and I think as you know, from a coaching perspective, they're obviously, you know, none of this would work without the hard work of plenty of these guys that you know, give large portions of their free time to this. So I mean, as you can imagine, as every other club, I mean, we're hugely appreciative of what plenty of amateur dads give. I do think that, you know, in terms of the planning, I mean, that's a huge element of, you know, certainly from my experience that you learn pretty quickly how tough it can be if you haven't got that kind of program in your mind before you start an hour or an hour and a half session with you know, younger children. But it does become, you know, it certainly becomes easier with experience. I think I certainly would say that to the extent that you start to understand the sorts of games and how children respond to them, then it does become a little bit easier to shape out sessions, which I think is obviously always nice if you can feel that something's becoming slightly easier and less demanding on you know, amateur coaches' scarce time. So.
Another big problem is when someone gets to the end of their career in the age group section. They get to 15 or 16 or 17 perhaps, and they disappear from cricket. They don't go into adult cricket. How do you minimise that loss?
Well, I think that's an area that we are, you know, that's not, or is a, certainly an area for us to develop. At this point, you know, what we have is we don't have an under 18 section. That's something that, you know, from my perspective, I think is an area for us to consider. But at the same time, you know, I think there is the ability for, you know, for the 15-year-olds, you know, at that age group effectively to take part in senior cricket, whether that's in our, you know, our third team or second team. So really the key for me is building, or is ensuring that youth section feels like it's a, you know, a key part of the club. And, you know, one of the things that we do in the summer really with, you led, you know, via the pro, a chap called Tim Weston, who's coming back this year, he very much runs some of the older group, the under 13 and under 15 net sessions prior to, you know, senior net. So more so really at the under 15 level, but what the opportunity we're setting out for those boys really is the ability then to stay on and take part in senior nets and to start integrating and feeling comfortable with the with the senior players. So that's probably as far as we've got at the moment. You know, I do think there is under 18 competition, cup competition up here. And you know, we will be entering a team in that, but I think, you know, that's another an area of the club that we have to look at and understand whether it's we need to develop that out, or indeed whether it's, you know, the process or the approach at the moment is working in terms of those under 15s training with the senior squad, because it can be a pretty daunting task for you know, a 15-year-old kid, especially if, you know, it's just the one, you know, one of them's called up to a third 11 on a Saturday. You know, that can be a pretty lonely and miserable experience if it's badly handled.
And finally, if you could go back in time to a year and a half ago when you first started this job approximately, what, say, two or three things would you tell yourself that you've learned in the meantime?
I think I think goes without saying that you're not going to be able to do this without a number of able helpers. So I think, you know, having that, you know, the availability of coaches, and you know, we've currently for the 140 to 160 children that we have kind of in between the winter and summer, we've probably got I would say somewhere around about 15 to 18 coaches that help out on a regular basis. So, you know, relatively speaking, I think we're pretty lucky in terms of, you know, the amount of resource that we have. But I think, you know, that's kind of developed over the period. I think, you know, that's the lifeblood, and I think that's, for me, you know, for a club to kind of work on that side of the club in terms of, you know, volunteer programs and helping parents in most cases here to get a better understanding of cricket or how to, you know, coach at various levels, I think is key. But I think, you know, trying to put a sustainable structure in place is also, you know, something that from my perspective is, I think we've tried to set out, and I think it's working pretty well. But ultimately, you know, ultimately for me, it's making sure that these children are having fun and you know, when they're learning the game of cricket. As we all know, it's a fantastic sport, and the more I can help with, you know, in any way to sell the game, the better for me. So.
Well, Simon, that's a fascinating insight into how a thriving youth section works. So thank you very much. That's Simon Council, youth convener for Watsonian Cricket Club.
Thank you.
That's the end of the show for this week. Don't forget that you can get in touch with us to give us your questions for the show. And we do need those. And to show our gratitude for the best question, we are giving away a free online coaching course courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com/academy. So, Berners, from the questions that we had this week, who is going to get the prize?
I think we're going to give it to Rafi. A good question, and we wish him all the best as he opens the batting in the 2020.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on how he gets on with Israel under-19s, because that's quite an interesting job to have, playing in an associate nation, a developing associate nation.
So, yeah, stay in contact, Rafi. Let us know how you get on, mate.
Yeah, well done, Rafi. If you want to enter the competition and you also get your question answered on the show, then you can get in touch with us on the usual offices. And those are, Berners.
You can give us a call on 020-88-167-691 or drop us an email at mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com.
You can indeed. And also we have a Twitter account, PV Cricket Coach. So if you want to get us on Twitter, it's all the rage. We've got a lot of followers, and it's good to see a lot of cricket clubs this year getting on the Twitter bandwagon. We've had a few join us there. So if you're on Twitter, and if you're not on Twitter, why not? Then add us at PV Cricket Coach. You can do that at any time, and we're always lurking around on there. So don't forget, you can subscribe to this show. If you're not already subscribed, you can head over to pitchfinishing.com/academy. Click on the link to subscribe in iTunes, and you can get that. We also have our feed if you don't want to use iTunes, and there are other podcast downloading programs available, then you can get the feed from any of our shows in the show notes at pitchfinishing.com. We'll be back next week with some more cricket coaching tips. So until then, we'll see you next time.